William Morrow and Harper Audio present You Were Made to Be Mine, The Palace of Rogues, by Julianne Long, performed by Justine Eyre. For JQ, for your extraordinary kindness and generosity, so grateful to have a champion like you. Chapter 1 Paris, 1820. Hawkes held a smouldering cheroot in one hand and the miniature of the Earl of Brundage's missing fiancée in the other. He saw a pale oval face nimbused in dark curls, light eyes, head coyly tipped. She could be any pretty girl anywhere. He'd never once seen a miniature of a homely girl, or say of one scowling and shaking her fist, which would have at least made for a change. It could probably be ascribed to the tyranny of commerce. No artist wanted to risk offending a paying customer with accuracy. No one knew better than Hawkes that the biggest lie people tell themselves is that they prefer to know the truth.
"I would like you to do that thing you do so well," Brundage had said when he'd handed it to him. Hawkes knew the unspoken word was filthy. "It was painted when Aurelie was 16, I'm told," Brundage said. "She is now 21. She, of course, looks considerably more mature now, but I fear it's the only one in existence. I imagine commissioning larger portraits was not among her remaining family's priorities," Hawkes said absently.
The orgy of aristocrat killing, known as the French Revolution, had divested the girl's parents, members of the Condé family of the French House of Bourbon, of their fortunes and their heads when she was 3 years old. She'd been in the care of a guardian since. Somehow she'd wound up engaged to Brundage. Lucky, lucky girl. The wedding was meant to be a month from now, here in Paris, or so Brundage had just told him. And yet Lady Aurelie, who he'd learned lived a stone's throw away in rented lodgings with her guardian, failed to turn up for Tuesday tea, as had been her custom with Brundage and hadn't been seen since. That was 4 days ago. Hawkes didn't lift his head from her miniature just yet. The glints in the anteroom in which they sat, glaze on porcelain, gilt on chair legs, the silvered surface of an outlandishly large mirror, were like the stars one sees after a blow to the head. He'd been released from prison less than a week ago. He somehow hadn't fully anticipated the sensory assault of freedom. He'd received Brundage's message 2 days ago.
"I need your help, and will pay handsomely for it."
Brundage must have weighed all of his options and concluded only Hawkes could do what he needed done. And Hawkes knew that meant Brundage must be desperate indeed. The opportunity to witness this desperation was what finally made Hawkes agree to meet him. The heat thrown off by the huge fire eased the ache in his shoulder. This perversely filled him with a quiet subterranean fury. That ache was a souvenir of the only time he'd been unable to fight back, which was the only way anyone had ever gotten the better of him. He would rather endure another 3 years in prison than reveal any weakness to the man in front of him. Brundage, he was certain, would love to see evidence of a broken man.
"I was, of course, going to have her sit for a portrait once we were married," Brundage said.
Brundage had always been fond of the words I and my. He liked to own, he liked to lord. Hawkes looked up, finally.
"The mirror is new, isn't it?" he said idly. "I don't remember seeing it in your office or home."
Brundage smiled sympathetically.
"I imagine it would seem new to you. I acquired it last year." "Handsome piece," Hawkes said admiringly. "Must have cost the earth."
Brundage hesitated, as he'd been compelled to do after nearly everything Hawkes had said so far this evening.
"Playing deep again,"
Hawkes suggested into the silence with a sympathetic smile, on a bit of a hush to imply he was jesting. He wasn't. It had been a secret, from everyone except Hawkes, from whom almost nothing was a secret, that the upright Brundage recklessly wagered staggering amounts, amassing staggering unpaid debts. Debt which had magically disappeared before the war was over. Another secret Hawkes had learned. Brundage's smile was small and did not reach his eyes.
"I've been fortunate enough..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?